Now, I have to admit to you, the fear of the Lord, I've been struggling with this all week, teaching on this topic. It's such a huge thing. I need my glasses. So anyways, I went to Tom and I said, you know, I think the fear of the Lord is so much a part of our walk that it would be hard to separate the two. And my husband said this to me, and I just wanted to share it with you. If you have a healthy fear of the Lord, then everything else will fall into place. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you now and ask that you would anoint this message, Lord, that your words would be the words coming from my mouth, Father. I pray that each and every lady here would be encouraged and exhorted to fear you more and to fall in love with you more. And I just want to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do, not only now, but in our group time, Lord. And I just give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm struggling, okay? I'm racking my brain. For me, the introduction is always the hardest part because I want to give you something to grab your attention and, you know, and just hold your attention throughout the rest of the study. So normally I try to say something really funny, but, you know, on this topic, there isn't too much that's really funny. There isn't. So, the best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. So I went to the Bible and I came up with this one. So it's a familiar passage to us all, and you guys all know it well, but I want to read it to you, and it's from Isaiah 6. So could you turn to Isaiah 6? And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two wings he covered his face, with two wings he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Notice Isaiah's response to his vision of the Almighty God. He saw God in all of his glory, and his sin was before his face. He said, woe is me. Now, I don't know what I would say. I think I would just faint. But he said, woe is me. He saw God as he really was, big, glorious, majestic, and holy. Perfect. Perfect in power and love and knowledge and wisdom. And the fear of the Lord was overwhelming to Isaiah because he saw the Lord in all his glory. And his vision exposed himself for who he really was. Feeble, finite, sinful, human. We fear the Lord. This is really... Anyways, we fear the Lord because he is God, and we're not, right? In Scripture, for clarification's sake, I wanted to go over a few of these words. In Scripture, fear is used in several different ways, and it's important that we know the difference. The Hebrew word... I don't know how to pronounce these. P-A-C-H-A-D means fear. It means fear, terror, or dread. And in Psalms 90:11, it says, "Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath." Okay? That fear means dread or what did I say? Terror. Now, the Greek word phobo, we get our word phobia, means terror or dread. "And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." That's Matthew 28:4. Unrepentant, this is my clarification, unrepentant, disobedient people have every reason to be afraid of the Lord in this way. We don't. We do not. Christians in a state of grace need not fear the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians supports this. It says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that's why word studies are so important, you know, because they really clarify the meaning. And the fear that we're speaking of in this lesson is, the Greek word is timao, and it means reverence and respect. Servants, 1 Peter 2:18, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." Revere, respect them. In Psalms 15:11, the Hebrew word is yara, Y-A-R-A-H. Some places it was Y-I-R-A-H, but it means reverential fear, honor, respect, reverence, and worshipful awe. "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." That's Psalms 119:11. To the Jewish mindset, the fear of the Lord is considered one of the greatest goals of a worshiper's life. If you go to Israel and you go to the Wailing Wall, you will see the Jews rocking as they pray and worship at the wall. And they believe that by rocking forward, that they are getting closer to the Lord. And when they leave, they walk out backwards because they cannot turn their back on the glory of God. And the wall is what they have left. And that's where they believe that they are closest to the Lord. This is the kind of fear that we're talking about, the kind of fear that Isaiah had in the presence of the Lord. Have you ever noticed when you worship God, the bigger God gets and the smaller you get? This is the kind of fear that Isaiah had. This is the kind of fear that the Jewish worshipers aspire to when they're worshiping at the Wailing Wall. It's the kind of fear that was also the foundation for Job's character. He feared God and he shunned evil. Job 28:28 says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." All that God allowed Satan to do to Job, he never once cursed God. The fear of the Lord was greater than his fear of anything Satan could do to him. Now, I love in the very first paragraph of our study, as we're reading, it says, "The fear of God is the essence of our relationship," right? The esteem that God holds in your life, the value that you place on your relationship with God, should determine your manner of living. It should determine the depth of your walk with the Lord. One commentator I read said, "To fear God is to desire to live in harmony with his righteous standards and honor him in all you do." So, how do we relate to God in our spiritual lives and in our daily living is a direct result of how much we fear the Lord. So I listed five ways that we can relate to God in our daily living, manifested from our fear of the Lord. But I listed five. There's probably hundreds, and I'm sure each one of you could think of way more. But I just wanted to go over a few choices, a few things that I picked. And the first way that God is manifest in our daily lives as we fear the Lord is through our choices, the choices that we make. Every day we make hundreds of choices. We can choose the world's way, or we can choose God's way. Or even more likely, we can choose our way or God's way. The choices you make in your life are a direct reflection of the fear and respect you have for the Lord. Proverbs 9:10, we all know that one. It's in our study. It's one of my favorite. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Okay, remember when you guys accepted the Lord and that light bulb clicked off in your head? You realize that you don't want to do it your way anymore. You want to do it God's way. I know my husband says he woke up and he knew he didn't want to do what was wrong anymore, that he was changed that fast. Well, guess what? That's just the beginning of wisdom. That's just the beginning. Now, I've been a Christian for 40 years, and I like to think that I have a little bit more godly wisdom than I did on that day of salvation. The fear of the Lord is just the beginning of what God has for you, just the beginning of wisdom. I'd like to think that the choices that I make today are more reflective of the Lord than they were 40 years ago, I hope. True wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, pleasing God in our choices. Using godly wisdom in all our decisions has a direct correlation on how much we fear the Lord. Think about that the next time you have to make a choice. Nancy Missler, in her book, I think it's Be Transformed, one of her books, says about the choice points. She refers to them as choice points, and every day you have hundreds of choice points, and the choice points is that place you come to where you have to go this way or you have to go that way. Which way are you going to go? The fear of the Lord will encourage you to make right choices. Okay, second one, obedience. Psalms 112:1 says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the Lord, the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments." In Genesis 22, Abraham was faced with the seemingly unreasonable demand of sacrificing his son Isaac. In verse 12, God gave this testimony of Abraham. And this is after Abraham had gone through everything and the lamb in the thicket, and he had actually raised the knife and was ready to plunge it into Isaac's heart. And that little lamb started bleating in the thicket. And God said, "For I now know that thou fearest God." Abraham feared God. That is, he believed God was so great and so worthy that to disobey him was unthinkable. I am so thankful. I can't even tell you how thankful I am that I've never been put in that position, because I don't know what I would choose. Part of me thinks you would choose to fear the Lord and do the right thing and do what he asked. And then the other part says, I don't know. But anyways, Abraham passed the test. Now reflect on your life. I want you to think and ask yourself how obedient you are. Praise God, none of us have been asked to do what Abraham did. The New Testament, just for your encouragement here, has 1,050 commands that you are expected to obey. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 20 has 20 commands alone. So I wanted to read that to you and just point out some of these. And you guys think, reflect on your life and see where you fall short and what you can do to improve. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober. And this isn't talking about sanity. It's talking about not drunk. So, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope and salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, now we're going to start, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. So apparently the church there was already doing this. They were comforting each other and they were edifying each other. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. That can be very convicting to some of us. But God is telling you to be at peace among yourselves. So make peace with those people in your lives that you might have falling outs with or you know, differences. Then he goes on to say, and we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. When was the last time we warned somebody who was unruly? That is a commandment. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Patience, that's always something that we don't want, huh? We certainly don't want to pray for it, because then we get trials. See that no one renders evil for evil, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. And that was Psalms 111:1, or 112:1, excuse me. Okay, the third thing that the fear of the Lord should do in our lives is cause us to grow in our sanctification process. Sanctification is the act of being set apart for God's purpose, and it's an ongoing process in each and every one of us. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I speak. The fear of the Lord should be having a purifying effect as you are growing in the Lord. It should be purifying God's people. It compels us to hate sin. Okay, many years ago, my son Matthew did something that upset me immensely. I was in tears, and he felt so, so bad. I mean, it wasn't like he was like going to jail or anything. It was just something that was disappointing to me as a mother. Now, I can remember having this talk with him. He said to me, you know, it's hard being a preacher's kid. He was in public school at the time. He was telling me how the kids all teased him, and they called him Church Boy. That was his nickname, Church Boy. He said they were constantly tempting him to do things that he knew Tom and I wouldn't approve of. You know, I'm assuming he meant drugs and drinking and ditching school and things like that. I don't know. But he told me he could never do any of those things. He said, Mom, I could never do that. I couldn't do that to you and Dad. I love you too much to hurt you that way. And one of the things that kept my son out of trouble was the fear of hurting us. To me, this is how we are to fear the Lord, as his children. And I'll never forget that talk with Matt. I reflected on what he said, and I couldn't help think of my relationship with the Lord. I want it to be just like that. I want to fear him so much that disobeying him, disappointing him, wouldn't be an option, because I wouldn't want to hurt him that way. Our fear of the Lord has a direct correlation on our sanctification and our growth. Worship. Now, I talked a little bit about that earlier with the Jews, but Psalms 22:25 says, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pray my vows before those who fear him. Now, the Jews, once again, felt it was their greatest goal in a worshiper's life was to fear the Lord. Now, the more I fear the Lord, the freer I feel to worship, the freer I am to worship. Now, when Tom and I were first saved, we went, it was Calvary Coast in Mesa, I think it was a Monday night, one of the concerts or something, and you got to remember, we were new Christians, and we looked over, and there was two couples sitting next to us, and they were like this, you know? And I looked at Tom and I said, what are they doing? You know, to me, it looked weird. I thought, is this real? Is this fake? What's going on here? Now, I'm right there with them, you know, because the fear of the Lord, the more you grow in your reverence and your respect and your awe of who the Lord is, the freer you are to worship him that way. And I love it on Sunday when I look around the crowd, and I do that, and I see all the hands raised, and I think, praise God, you know, God is touching the hearts of his people through the worship. So the fear of the Lord will encourage you to worship God in a freer way. Number five is godly character. And this is the culmination of everything, is our character. And of course, we're going to go to the Proverbs 31 woman here. And I like to call her that picture of perfection, an unattainable goal that we all study but never quite achieve. Now, my husband told me, I think I've said this a million times, but I'll tell it again. He always tells me that I could never be a Proverbs 31 woman because I'm afraid of snow. No, I was driving in snow one time, and it was kind of like whiteout conditions, and I was terrified. I was literally terrified. So he likes to tease me about that. But anyways, I believe the key to her perfection is found in verse 30, and it says, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She feared the Lord, and it motivated everything that she did. She revered him. She was obedient to him. She didn't want to disappoint him. She didn't want to hurt him. And it showed in how she lived her life and the choices that she made. A healthy fear of the Lord will always result in right living. If you have areas in your life that aren't quite lining up with Scripture or quite pleasing to the Lord, then maybe you need to get on your face and pray for the fear of the Lord. Like our study said in that first paragraph, the fear of the Lord is the essence to our relationship with him. Now, I'm going to give you a little quiz. And as I'm asking these questions, I want you to just think over, is that me? Do I do that? Is this in my life? Okay. A lot of times, we think like this. Say you're entering into this Bible study or into church on Sunday or going to work or a situation where you're going to be with a lot of other people. We think like this. What will they think of me? What will they say to me? Will they be angry? Will they be pleased? Will they be upset? Will they be offended? Will they still be friendly to me? What do they want me to do? What do they want me to say? I'm afraid they won't be happy with me. I don't think they will approve of this. I hope they like what I'm wearing. I hope they like me. If you answered yes to any one of those, this is the fear of man. Okay? And Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." What the fear of... Okay, I'm going to read these again, but I'm going to insert God instead of they. This is how we should be thinking. What will God think of me? What will God say? Would God be angry? Would God be pleased? Would God be upset? Would God be offended? Would God still be my friend? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to say? I'm afraid God will not be happy with me. I don't think God would approve of this. I hope God likes what I'm wearing. That's a biggie for women. Okay, I hope God likes what I'm wearing, and I hope God likes me. This is what the fear of God looks like. And you know what? People need to see this exampled in your life. They need to know that we care more about what God thinks of us than what they think of us. I'm going to close with this quote, and it says, our world... It said unknown, so I can't tell you who said it. It said, our world is longing to see people whose God is big and holy and loving and gentle and tender and ours. A God whose love brings us into his strong, powerful arms, where he longs to whisper those gentle words, I love you. So, okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I was able to get through this, Father, and thank you for what you're going to do in our group time, and I just ask that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen.